Well, good afternoon. I think I have a disclosure slide next. Yes, there it is. I don't have any particular thing to disclose. This afternoon, I would like to cover some observations that I've been having regarding developments in terms of enumeration of the public health workforce. I'll describe some past efforts as useful ventures for current activities, and then provide implications for the future in terms of the influence of enumeration. And the way I got into this was a friend of mine with SOFI, the Society for Public Health Education. This is several years ago when I was in my first term as the education board member of APHA. Was concerned about the fact that the federal government standard occupational classification system, which was being revised in 2010, and this was about 2008, was developing a definition for health educator that included community health worker. And the group of folks that I knew that were community health workers were also concerned that they were being defined into that same group for purposes of enumeration. That's basically what the SOC does, the Standard Occupational Classification System. So we wrote letters, and eventually the system developed two different definitions, one for the health educator and one for the community health worker. But when I saw that, it gave me, it set me to thinking that there was something missing in a large system like SOC that can't make the distinction of work among public health occupations. And so that got my interest going. And, well, let me go back, because this is some background. I formulated an idea with the health education, with the APHA Education Board, and over the next year developed a paper that was presented at the 2009 APHA meeting called the Standard Occupational Classification System Using SOC to Help Define and Count Public Health Occupations. At that presentation, Dr. Douglas Scutchfield was also a panelist, and coincidentally found out that he was working on an enumeration project that had been funded for his Center of Excellence in Public Health Workforce Research and Policy at the College of Public Health, University of Kentucky. And in fact, they were working with the university, with a sister center at the University of Michigan. The joint effort is supported by the CDC and HRSA as a phase one effort for their larger project on enumeration that Denise mentioned earlier. And the university's report was finalized in February of 2012. The joint report also becomes part of a larger research effort in developing an agenda for public health services and systems research. And it's the National Coordinating Center for Public Health Services and System Research at the University of Kentucky, with the support of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, has coordinated development of a research agenda for PHSSR. The research agenda includes four tables providing overall domains for research, with each domain containing lenses of inquiry that are followed by specific questions of research. For example, the table one examines the public health workforce with enumeration as its first lens of inquiry, followed by two key research questions. And then table two, as you see, covers the domain of public health systems structure and performance. And then public third table is on public health financing and economics, and then table four, public health information and technology. So that research agenda is about looking at the total range of the public health workforce. A supplement of, in May of 2012 to the American Journal of Preventive Medicine entitled An Agenda for Public Health Services and System Research, Charting the Course, provides 5 review articles and 3 that are specific to explicating the national research agenda. Among the articles that reviewed the literature are 2 that deal with a 25-year retrospective on public health workforce research, and 1 dealing with the size and composition is entitled Building an Effective Workforce, a Systematic Review of Public Health Workforce Literature by Angela Beck and Matthew Bolton. Of the 126 articles they looked at, about 24% dealt with size and composition of the public health workforce. The most recent and first comprehensive national report was done in the year 2000 by Christine Gebbe and her colleagues, who estimated an amount of about 450,000 public health workers. A 1982 report by the Department of Health and Human Services, using different collection methods, provided a total of the public health workforce at about 500,000. So besides the state and federal levels enumeration efforts over the years, the ASTO and NATRO have published reports characterizing state and local workforces, including size and composition. There have been few non-governmental professional organizations published in the literature about estimates of the number of workers and subdisciplines of public health. With the paucity of information on the size and composition of the public health workforce, forecasting public health workforce demand is like forecasting the weather. In a word, uncertainty. Beck and Bolton, the authors of this article, point out that healthcare workforce literature may provide support for developing analytic measures of workforce capacity that can be applied to public health to ensure the workforce demand is understood and addressed. However, not captured in this particular review was an article that appeared in the American Journal of Public Health in March of this year, 2012, dealing with the enumeration and composition of the public health workforce, challenges and strategies. This article by Sito Sumaya, who was former administrator of HRSA, and actually my former boss, reviews selected past studies on enumeration and points out major limitations existing in interpreting the data from these past and current data collection efforts due to variability across workforce settings, state and local health departments' relationships, range of services, and the methodology that's used. He mentions SOC system in his listing of representative approaches to a comprehensive classification database system for the public health workforce. He suggests using SOC with other complementary surveys. He talks about a consensus-based system that would align with the Affordable Care Act provisions and explained by APHA in their June 2011 issue brief on the public health workforce. The public health workforce needs to gain greater attention from the media, legislatures, and general public in understandable terms and data. I think that was one of the issues Dr. Burek mentioned in his presentation. As Dr. Sumaya notes, the role of public health workforce must be better known. Compelling arguments for the value of public health services need to be disseminated effectively. Well, returning to the discussion of the joint report I mentioned earlier by the centers from the Universities of Kentucky and Michigan, it is called Strategies for Enumerating the U.S. Government Public Health Workforce. As I mentioned earlier, it was jointly funded as a phase one of an ongoing project for CDC and HRSA through an agreement with the Public Health Foundation. Objectives, as you can see, include outlining options for the plan to enumerate, determining data elements, review, assess, and determine available data sources, developing formal recommendations, and then building consensus for diversifying enumeration plans. The report lays out recommendations for next step. Arriving at these recommendations, a case definition of the public health workforce was developed. Using the case definition, public health workers would be included in one of 15 occupational classifications. Also included are review of existing data sources to implement an enumeration study and establishing a longer-term proposed surveillance system to monitor the public health workforce. 15 data sources were reviewed and evaluated as possible for enumeration and surveillance activities using criteria that included reliability, validity, frequency of data collection, and accessibility. For the 15 occupational classifications, the report provides an analytic profile of each in relation to the pertinent data sources. As an example, the administrative or clerical personnel make the largest public health workforce, the largest segment of the public health workforce, according to the data sources, which included Bureau of Labor Statistics, Office of Personnel Management, OPM, ASTO, NACHO, and the Association of Public Health Laboratories. A summary analysis of these sources show that 58,881 administrative and clerical personnel work in state and local health departments in 2010, which is equivalent to 22% of the workforce estimated by NACHO and ASTO in their surveys, while that same number of personnel is only about 13% of what BLS shows as workers in their category, so that BLS figures more than likely contain other than public health workers. For the federal workforce, research is needed to identify those types of workers by data at BLS and OPM. This analytic process is followed for each of the 14 remaining occupational categories. Proposed national enumeration surveillance system. The last two sections of the report present information on the development and implementation of a national public health enumeration and workforce surveillance system as part of future workforce plans and provides 7 recommendations for next step. This proposed surveillance system captures data only on U.S. governmental public health workforce at local, state, and federal levels. Data sources from the proposed public health surveillance system would include ASTO and NACHO profiles of state and local health departments, respectively, as main sources of data, along with OPM and potentially federal agency level data, such as data from the CDC employees. The CDC's work with BLS is a key effort in understanding the characteristics of the data generated by BLS, as well as defining strategies on prospectively using these data for enumeration. The 7 recommendations in the report, you can see them, the first 4 on the slide, have secure stable funding, identify a lead agency, develop consensus definition, engage federal partners, work on notifying existing pertinent data sources, identifying ways to get public health organizations and workers to participate in the surveillance, and develop and test methods to examine impact of variation in workforce characteristics on systems, outputs, and community health. These recommendations are considered next steps needed to affect the development of a systemic and systematic way of enumerating, defining, and developing a common taxonomy for the public health workforce. They also reflected in the current effort by a group of APHA members that proposed a public health workforce policy paper within the association policy development process. And although this particular paper was not accepted in its first round, the work group was advised to revise and resubmit it for next year. And the work group was quite diverse in representing different parts of APHA, as well as the members from different disciplines and experiences. But this is the point, it is the coming together of these diverse disciplines and people to address public health workforce policy that reflects growing concern and interest of public health professionals to deal with the issue in a formal context. The common goal was to articulate a comprehensive public health workforce policy for APHA that incorporated its history of support and partial policy attention. 9 out of the 14 policies submitted to APHA were approved after the year 2000. So key elements within this draft policy paper include these concepts: examining the workforce, the contextual environment, explains the issues of size and composition, discusses work environments issues, discusses competencies that use the workforce, more federal funding required, engage key federal agencies, urge support of the Congress, call for support, and talk about an advocating for a White House conference. These were suggestions that the work group will be revising in terms of its proposed policy paper, because it is important to articulate the critical policy dimensions of the public health workforce in order to address these dimensions in various venues for discussion and dissemination, so that in that way it can be surfaced in diverse areas and receive consistent and greater attention from the public, from stakeholder professionals, and from policy decision makers at all governmental and non-governmental levels. These are the consistencies with the paper and the university's report, calling for federal involvement and support, calling for SOC as a key part of it, and calling for a larger environment in which the public health workforce are represented. Now, the Institute of Medicine continues to study the future of public health. Adding to its reports from 1988 and 2003, with the support of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, more recent reports deal with public health data and measurement, law and policy, and funding. The funding policy latest report of April 2012 is called For the Public's Health, Investing in a Healthier Future, explains that population-based prevention efforts can improve America's health more efficiently than clinical care alone. And it introduces a concept that I think is going to be a very important one as part of our discussions, and that is the concept of minimum package of public health services. The minimum package includes foundational capabilities and basic programs that all public health departments should have. The report calls for bolstering the U.S. government-administered public health funding, which in 2009 was reported by CMS as only 3.1%, a small fraction of the $2.5 trillion of national health expenditures. It comes out to about $77.5 billion, which sounds like a lot of money, but against $2.5 trillion is a drop in the bucket. So this amounts to about $250 per person in public health versus $8,086 per person in medical care treatment. Underlying such recommendations is the need for a public health workforce ready to respond to this type of growth. So along these lines of being ready to respond, the IOM developed a report on primary care and public health, exploring integration to improve population health. And it talks about the need for the collaborative efforts of public health and primary care. And again, I think reflecting on some of the points made by Dr. Berwick in his presentation, this is an important discussion. The distinctions of each focuses, you can see on the slide, talks about primary care and the medical services to individual patients, where public health looks at the array of public health services across communities and populations, as you know. Using core principles of integrating public health and primary care efforts, the integration can move from mutual awareness to cooperation to collaboration to partnership. Recommendations are given that would foster broader integration of primary care and public health. These types of integrating relationships become a challenge of implementation to the public health workforce in readying itself for these changes. The implication for the future of public health. Given the growing interest for enumeration, including defining and providing a taxonomy for workers' occupation within the public health workforce, what might be implications for the future of public health because of this growing interest? This growing interest in enumeration implies a need for the public health field to act on the energies and resources that are currently available. Willingness to fund and engage in enumeration and the processes of developing definitions and a common taxonomy for public health workers are evident within federal agencies such as the work being done by CDC and HRSA. Explanation and research, as noted in reports and in peer-reviewed literature, present good ideas about how such enumeration methods can be implemented. Striking while the iron is hot is a critical move to get this done. As Dr. Somaya states, the time for change is now. Building on previous advances and the current impetus for work for support of workforce development, including the public health workforce. There is always an uncertainty of support for public health that continues to haunt our workforce. An example of such uncertainty is the House of Representatives wanting to use the Prevention and Public Health Fund in the Affordable Care Act as a bank from which to draw funds to pay for non-public health items. These actions reinforce the need to act now. Several past and current reports and literature articles express concern if a solid enumeration system is not developed. As I read them, the pessimism is based not in having accurate and sufficient data and information about our public health workforce. Such data and information deficiencies do not allow meaningful comparisons among local, state, and national levels of public health workforces and the services they are responsible for providing. Will this inhibit the effectiveness and generalizability of new processes in public health departments, such as responding to new accreditation criteria? How do we know how many public health workers we need if we don't have an accurate knowledge of how many we have to do the work? If we don't have a consistent and understanding of who we identify as public health workers and cannot accurately enumerate them, how do we get a better fix on the need for certain expertise to perform our public health functions? We can go blindly into the future with our workforce. Other negative implications include the lack of cohesive strategies, doing more work with less workers, as has been said. At what point do we go below the minimum package of public health services, which is an important concept in terms of the number of workers? Unable to make accurate assessment by recruitment, hiring and retention of workers, the inability for public health workers to receive education and training, and then without accurate information, job development and position classification will be based on past history and not on the dynamic of a changing workforce. So, but along with these various implications, there is also a growing positive consequence, and that, as I see it, is the result from a systematic method of enumerating, defining, and providing a taxonomy for the public health workforce. And that is arranging the workforce in such a way as to form a whole, so a national public health workforce system. With such an arrangement, we can document more clearly our strengths as a workforce and value added to the functions we perform. We can use data to demonstrate to policy and program decision makers that public funds entrusted to us are maximized by workers knowing what needs to be done and doing it. With data and good information, the quality of our services can be more visible and quantitatively demonstrated. And in conclusion, I have shared with you these observations of movement toward a systematic and systematic approach to enumeration the negative and positive implications, and hopefully to generate some interest in this as an area of concern on behalf of the total public health workforce. We, as part of the public health workforce, can be characterized in many ways. But to get it right, we, as the public health workforce, need to make sure we are doing the counting, defining, and categorizing, and not letting it happen to us. We need to take charge of these processes of enumeration, definition, and classifying the occupation of our workers. Who best to know who we are than ourselves? This afternoon's information shows we are on our way. Let's all help in doing it. Thank you very much.